Okay, good morning. So the past couple weeks we were doing the halachos of Esrig. We did a week and a half ago, half a week ago, we did the halachos of Lulav. And today, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue with the pasuk of Parshas Emor that we mentioned both times. L'kachtam l'chem b'yem rishim, priya tzadar, kapis tamar, v'nafes avos, v'arvei nocha. So nafes avos is next, and that's the hadasim. So the same way we spoke about by the Esrig, and we said that the Rambam says that we always knew what the taich of Priyei Tzadar was. We always knew that it was the Esrig. The Gemara just tries to find allusions to how it fits into the words of Priyei Tzadar. So to over here, by the Hadassim, we always knew that Anafis Avis is referring to the Hadassim, what we call the Hadassim. Just the Gemara tries to find, the Ramazim also hints in the Pasuk over there on Lama Beis and Beis and Sukkah that it's Avis, or it's Anaf of Choyfenes Eitzai, different ways that the Gemara tries to fit into the how the Hadassim that we know as the Hadassim fit into the words Anafes Avitz. But we know for a fact from Halachah Mishmi Sinai, we knew that that's what it was. And the Gemara over there says, Alam Abayz Mabayz, that Avitz means, what does it mean, Avitz? Anafes Avitz. It means that three leaves come out from one row, from one cord. If you have, you look at the Hadassim, from each row around, there's three leaves coming out. That's what Avitz is. The Brisa says that Avos is kosher. If it's not Avos, then it's pasul. And that's what we call Meshulash. Meshulash comes from Lashon of Shalosh, is three. That the Hadassim have to be Meshulash. So we're going to discuss how much of the Hadass needs to be Meshulash. And what exactly does Meshulash mean? If there's only two and one, meaning if the three don't come from the same spot, it's two and one, it's like a little bit off. There's two coming from one spot and one is a little bit higher or lower. So the Gemara says that's called the Hadas Shaita. A Shaita means like a fool, someone who's, you know, has no Das. So that means it's unstable, it's irregular, and that's not considered a Hadas, that's considered puzzle. So now, if something is in a package, if you buy Hadassim in a package, people all across, and I grew up like this also, you buy a package Hadassim, it's a package. Of course it's kosher, it's packaged. But I've seen with my own eyes, packaged Hadassim that apostle, l'chaladeus. So we have to discuss what is considered kosher, what's considered preferred, and what's considered puzzle. And the same way we said by Esrig, with the Hechsher of an Esrig, it could say Chazanish on it, it could say Badatz on it, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Esrig is kosher. We discussed what does it mean that it has a Hechsher of the Chazanish and the Badatz, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's kosher. You have to make sure that it is kosher, so you have to know the halachos. So what exactly does Meshulash mean? What do we mean when we say the Hadas needs to be Meshulash? So the Rishonim say that if you look at a Hadas, each of the three leaves has a stem. It's connected to the Hadas, to the branch, to the stick of the Hadas, and it has to be on Shura Achas. Those three leaves, each of the three, has to be in one row, on Shura Achas. The Rush is more elaborate. He says, She'ein echon nomuch mechaveroi, that one of them can't be any lower than the other two. Has to be all three from the same row. So now, the Chazanish had a big chiddush. The Chazanish said a chiddush, and a lot of people make the misconception that the Chazanish is a chumrah. The Chazanish is a big kula. And the Chazanish says the following kula. He says, again, we know the Gemara says clearly that it has to be avos, it has to be meshulish, and the three hadasim have to come out from the same row. So what does it mean, the same row? So the Chazanish had a kula that it doesn't have to be mamish shura achas, it doesn't have to be mamish that the three hadasim are coming out where it's connected to the stick from the same exact spot, from the same exact level. Even if it's a little off, it's still good as long as the three stems overlap. And that's what we call a chut hamakif. Like if you would take an imaginary string and wrap it around the stem of the hadas, if it would overlap the three stems, then that's considered already it came out from one row. Meaning the three stems that have come out of don't have to be exactly on the same level, even if it's a little bit off, but as long as they overlap, the three overlap at one point, you'd be able to find one chut hamakif all the way around, that already is considered kosher. Shlomo Zalman Orbach also holds like this in Halicha Shleima, Perek Yud, Ois Yud. On the bottom of Shlomo Zalman, they say it's even a bigger kula, but that seems to be a standard enough. Shlomo Zalman says as long as it just looks like a Shura Achas, it's okay. But on top, they bring that Shlomo Zalman only was Mekel as far as the Chazanish. It has to be a Chut HaMakif. As long as it overlaps, that already is considered Shura Achas.
It could be really off then, because Lamaisa, as long as the whatever is lower,
you put
a rope around.
Right, but those Hadassim, they come out from the stem. They don't have like a big... It's not connected by a large spot. It's a tiny dot, really, where it's connected. That, not tiny dot, but that little button where it's connected to, that is pretty small. Now you have three of those have to overlap at some point. They don't have to be exactly the same, but the three of them have to overlap at some point. At some point, the three, and then again, higher and higher and higher, again and again and again and again, they have to overlap. The three and the three and the three and the three, they have to overlap. We'll talk about in a moment how many of them has to overlap. Does the whole hadas have to overlap again and again? Shurachas, that we'll see. So it's really, the Chazanish was a big kula, and the Chazanish really saved the day, because the Gemara over there, in Lama Beis, the Gemara thought that Reb Tarfon needed to have five tefachim. We're going to discuss soon. We'll see that the size of the hadas is three tefachim. So the Gemara thought over there that Reb Tarfon needed five tefachim. He said you have to have five tefachim. The Gemara says, five tefachim, Reb Tarfon, you're making it too hard for us. We could hardly find three tefachim of Meshulash. You're going to tell us we need to find five tefachim worth of Meshulash. So the Gemara even says that three tefachim is very, very hard to find. But it's brought from the Briska Rav that the Briska Rav was Machmir, and he held not like this Chazanish. And the Briska Rav said that it can't be just a Chutamakif, it can't just be overlapping, it has to be Mamish, has to be on the same row. The three spots where the Hadas, where the three leaves come out of on that row, has to be Mamish, the exact same spot, equal on the line, not at all a little bit higher or a little bit lower. So that's a big Chumr from the Briska Rav, and his children go with this Chumr. Anyone, I think we spoke about the briskers last week by the lulavim, that the lulav has to be green to the tippy top and not even brown. The briskers spend the entire Elzman looking for Dal and Minim. His Rabbi Ram Yeshua, who's the grandson of the Briska Rav, he has his lulav guy, and he has his Esther guy, and he has his Hadassah. I mean, there's one person, supposedly, I heard this, I don't know if it's true, but he had one guy who was checking the entire Elzman for Hadassah, and he pushed it. He couldn't find three kosher Hadassah in the entire Yerushalayim for the entire Elzman, and he was an oinus. It wasn't his fault. It came sukkahs. He didn't have Hadassah. What could he do? There was no kosher Hadassah. But that's okay. That I don't know if it's true, but that's what I heard. But that's a chumra from the Briska Rav. Now it's set over from Rab David Soloveitchik is the son of the Briska Rav, the uncle of Rabbi Avraham Yeshua, and supposedly he said that it's misquoted from the Briska Rav, and the Briska Rav did not say such a chumrah, it's a chiddush, because the Briskas are very machmir to try and get the Hadassim exactly in the same row. So my brother, when he was living in Eretz Yisrael, he went over to Rabbi, he found Rab David, he learned in the mirror, but he went over to Rab David, and he wanted to say, can I ask, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva a question about the Hadassim? He says, I can't think about Hadassim now, this was before Yom Kippur, and he says, I can't think about Hadassim. He says, no, my brother, like, bug him there, please, can I just one quick question? So he wanted to know, does the Briska Rav have to, does he say that the Hadassim have to be Mamish Shura Achas? So he said, and he says, I don't know, I can't think about it. He says, no, tell me. He says, no, it's enough if it's a Chutamakif. So Rabbi David said that, I don't know, it's in the Rabbi Skarav held it was enough with just the Chutamakif. So my brother said, like the Chazanish, the Chutamakif. He said, I don't know, the Chazanish didn't tell me anything, I can't say, I don't know. But it's already not clear what the Briska Rav's opinion was on this. I think halacha, I think we could rely on the Chazanish, especially if Rav Shlomo Zalman held like that. And on the bottom of the Halicha Shlomo, we said even more Mekel. For sure, we could go with the Kula Chazanish, that the three where the Hadassim come out of on each row doesn't have to be mamish from the same spot, but as long as there is a Chutamak. How much of the Hadas needs to be Mesholosh? Meaning there's three, if you look at a Hadas, there's three, 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 three. How many of those threes need to be Shura Achas? Even if you go with the Kula of the Chazanish, that it's enough, the Chutamakif, but how much of it needs? So the Gemara Lama Beis Amabei says that the Shear of the Hadas, like we alluded to before, is three Tvachim, and like we spoke about by the Lulav, that we should go with the Chazanish, since it's Medaraisa, we should go with the most Chomer Dikashita of what a Tefach is, which is four inches. So a tefach would be, three tefachim would be 30 centimeters, which is about around 1 foot, right? Four inches for a tefach, three tefachim would be 1 foot. We should go with the chomer dekashita. So almost 1 foot. So how much of that 1 foot needs to be mesholish? So the tour in Tafresh Memvav brings the Ga'inim that all the rows need to be mesholish. All the rows need to be mesholish. You buy a package of Hadassim, some of them will say kulay mesholish, kulay mesholish. The Shulchan Aruch over there in Sif Hey says lechatchilo you should have like that. You should have hadasim that are kulay mesholish. But he says if it's raiv, if it's a majority, let's say 51% of the hadas is mesholish, then that's kosher b'di'evid. It's not a bracha levatala. In the middle of yontif, if you realize you don't need to go get a new one, but that is kosher. It's kosher to have raiv mesholish. You go buy packaged hadassim, it'll say, or you ask the person selling the hadassim, it'll say either it's kula mishulish or it's rubai mishulish. And that raiv, when we say rubai mishulish, that raiv does not need to be necessarily the top 51%. At any point of the top 30 centimeters, the top 12 inches, any one of that 51% of that can be Mishulish, and that already is considered Rubai Mishulish. If it's Kula Mishulish, even better. But if you're going to go with the Rubai Mishulish, it doesn't have to be the top 51% that the Ramo over there says in Sefei. That's enough. If at any point 51% of those top 30 centimeters, the 12 inches, is Mishulish. Some hadassim are very long. You'll notice most hadassim are longer than 12 inches. So really, you could cut off the bottom, literally, you could cut off the bottom of the hadassim, or you could ignore the bottom of the hadassim, and you can't cut off the top, because that's considered niktam, and the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud brings a machloikis if the hadassim that the chop that's topped off is kosher or not. The Shulchan Aruch says Shebi Machmir, that it's possible. So you shouldn't definitely not cut off the top of the hadassim. The bottom of the hadassim you could cut off, or you could just ignore the bottom of the hadassim. So we really need to focus on the top 30 centimeters, the top 12 inches of the hadassim. So when you check your hadassim, let's say you buy a package hadas. Open it up and you want to check it. Just because you buy a package, you still have to look at it. You open it up, you look at it. You only need to check the top 30 centimeters. You don't have to check the bottom. A good idea would be not to start looking for the mishulish from the tippy top, because that's almost always mishulish. You'll notice that the hadasim get very, very close together when you get higher and higher and higher. So those are almost always mishulish. Start from the bottom of those 12 inches, but not from the bottom of the hadas. You understand? Meaning from the top 12 inches of the hadas, from the bottom of those 12 inches, you start looking up if it's mishulish or not. If it's not mishulish, fine. So it's not mishulish, well, at least you could rely on Rav. If you already bought the package, you're already home, it's 2 hours before Yontif, so you could rely on the Rubai mishulish. But to try and check in advance, if you want to try and get a Kula mishulish, check the top 12 inches from the bottom of those 12 inches. A very important, another kula from Rabbi Yashiv, and that's the following. Even if the top 12 inches, and you see from the top 12 inches that it's not kula mishulish, and it's not perhaps even ruba mishulish, only let's say 40% of the top 12 inches is mishulish. Now what do? Only 40% is mishulish. So Rabbi Yashiv has a kula that if the hadassim are longer than 12 inches, which like we said before, almost all hadassim are longer than a foot, they're longer than 12 inches, you can include further lower down on the hadas. And if lower down on the hadas you have some cords that are mishulish, and altogether that equals 12 inches, or altogether that equals 6.1 inches, so that's Rubai. Rabbi Yashiv says that it's also considered sufficient, meaning you don't have to only check the top 12 inches. It's enough to check throughout the entire hadas, as long as you have three tvachim, which is 12 inches of mishulish, that's already considered kula mishulish, and as long as you have altogether rive of that, that's already also considered, could be considered Rubai mishulish. You can't include the non-mishulish, but you could skip over non-mishulish lines and take the mishulish on the bottom and mishulish on top. You'll always have some mishulish on top, and altogether, if that equals 51% of
just the 12,
just altogether those the parts that are mishulish and the parts that are non-mishulish. If altogether that equals 3 tvachim, that's considered kula mishulish. If altogether that equals 1.6 tvachim, so that's considered ruba mishulish, even though there's a gap in between of non-mishulish cords, non-mishulish cords. That's a kula from Rabbi Yashiv. The Mishnah Berurah discusses in Sivkat and Yud Ches, let's say the leaves fall off. We'll talk about the kashikol soon, but when you put the hadassim in the kashikol, so a lot of times some of the hadassim, some of the leaves fall off. So the question is, does that lose the mishulish or not? If one of the leaves fall off, then it's not avais, right? It has to be anafes avais. So does that make it, is that a problem if the leaves fall off? So he brings it to Machlokes Rishayim, and he says, "B'makom adchak, you could be makel." So again, if when you stick the hadassim, most of them when you're handling it, some of the hadassim fall off. So it's a machlokes if that's kosher or not, if that loses the mishulish. And anyways, even if one falls off, if you had all of them were mishulish, you still have rive mishulish, like we were discussing before. But if you have 51% is mishulish, and then one, you lose one or two of the cords, then already you're getting into this machlokes rishayim. If the leaves fall off, if one leaf falls off, does that make it not mishulish anymore? The best is to be careful. If you have the longer hadassim, like we were talking about before, it's definitely better to get a little bit longer hadassim. Why? Because when you stick it into the kashikol, some of it could fall off. But if you only stick in the bottom of the hadas, you'll have a full 12 inches, a full 30 centimeters sticking out of the kashikol, and that will probably not fall off. And then you'll be able to be careful, be very delicate with the parts that are sticking out of the kishkol, then you won't have a problem. Usually the problems are when you start sticking it in. Whenever you need to take a hadas out of a kishkol for whatever reason, definitely do not take it out from the top, take it out from the bottom. Because when you take it out from the top, you're almost guaranteed that some leaves are going to fall off. Anytime you take it out, you take it out from the bottom. It's especially important to know the Bir Halacha has a suffix. We're talking about now, if one leaf, even one leaf, falls off from one of the three, you have three, 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 if one of the leaves fall off, the reason why some Rishonim say that it's not a problem is because since you have two out of three leaves are still there, so we say Roiv and Rube Kekula. So even though one leaf fell off from the three, but you say Rube Kekula. The Bir Halacha has a suffix. If you only have Rube Meshulish, like we were talking about before, so now you need to rely on two Roivs, because you have two out of three leaves, so that's Rube Kekuloi on this cord, and that I'm relying on that to make my Rubai Meshulish. So Rabbi Halacha is not so sure if you could rely on two Roivs. You have a Roiv and then another Roiv. So when it's Rubai Kekuloi, you have to be, it's when you have only Rubai Meshulish, you have to be especially careful not to lose any of the leaves. And like I said before, I've had package Hadassim that are, say, Kula Meshulish, and it's really only Rubai. And I've seen package Hadassim say Rubai Meshulish, and it's really possible. So it's better to get the Kula Meshulish, and then at least you're guaranteed you'll have a Rubai Meshulish, and then you'll be more, I'd be more at ease if you have if one of the leaves fall off. If part of the leaf is missing, sometimes you notice that part of the leaf comes off and most remains, so then that's not a problem. That's considered like a full leaf. It's only talking about if it came off from the stem where it was connected to. By the lulav, there's a din that each, we didn't even talk about this by the lulav, because by the lulav it's very not nageya kamat, that each leaf needs to reach the bottom of the leaf on top of it. Right? You have leaf, you have a leaf, many leaves. So by the lulav, that's obvious. Every leaf, I mean, the leaves are long. Of course, they're going to reach the bottom of the leaf on top of it. By the hadas, there's a shaila, if you need that by the hadas, the shari tshuva, noiz gimel brings the marak tzia, Zab Yaakov Emden, that you do need it. Other paiskim can say you don't need it. So the chazanish says, alechadchila, you should have that each leaf reaches the leaf on top of it. On kulay, it says b'diavad on rubay. So that's another thing to keep in mind when you're looking at the hadasim. Try to make it as much as possible that each leaf reaches the leaf on top of it. Reaches the bottom of the leaf on top of it. That's basically all we need to know for the hadasim. The arava. The arava over there in the pasuk that we've been quoting, arvei nachal anafi tzov, it's for arvei nachal. So arvei nachal is the arava, and that's also three tvachim. The same Gemara, same Mishnah on Lama Beis on the Beis says it has to be three tvachim, which is 30 centimeters. All the dinim of the aravas throughout Sukkot apply on Hashanah Rabbah as well. That's the Rama in Tefach Samach Dalet Siv Dalet. So one psul that you have, and a lot of people are worried about this throughout Yavdif, is when the arava gets dried out. Yavish, if it gets dried out. So we spoke about it by the lulav, by the arava, by yavish, it's pasul. But you really don't have to worry. The only time that it's going to be considered yavish is only if it's totally not green anymore. Not just simply that it's dried out, and it's totally not green, and it's white, and it's only if most of the leaves are white. But you do find that people buy extra aravos, and they keep it in the refrigerator, in their package, and then in the middle of Chol HaMoed, they change it because it just doesn't look nice, but it's not a psul of yavish. Maybe it's not zakei l'maveyu, maybe it's nice to change. If the aravos are very cheap, and they're very easy to get, if you could buy extra ones, that'd be great. You change it in the middle of Chol HaMoed, but if a person is not able to, don't worry about the psul of yavish. Those aravos are not yavish.
It tends to shrivel up from black.
Right, it turns, shrivels up and gets like very, very dark purple, like a black. Right, it's only yavish if it turns white. And it's only if most of the leaves are white. So that's only white. Eventually, yeah, it could be. I mean, Simcha Jacobowitz was in the last two shiurim. He said that Ramosha had his lulav hanging on a hook for a whole year. And so I don't know. So I'm not sure, you know, they heard that that's what happened. I don't know about the aravas. They don't leave them around long enough to turn white. Usually they're cut off of the, you know, the bushes shortly before. They shrivel up, but they don't turn white, and especially not most of them, they stay black, right? So then therefore you don't have the psul of yavish. If a leaf falls off, the Shulchan Aruch and Tafesh Mem Zayin Siv Beis says Mikra Adin, it's only psul is if most of the 30 centimeters fall off. Sometimes if it gets shriveled up also, it can get crunchy and then it falls off. That only psul if most of them fall off. But the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yudin Aleph says that a rov is a mitzuyas, and you should take the chumer dikashita. The Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Gimel, he says that even if one of the leaves of the rabbis fall off, he doesn't say it's possible, but he says it's not preferred. It's not preferred to have even if one leaf falls off. So you should try again, the same as we said about the hadassah. When you pull it out of the kishko for whatever reason, don't pull it out upwards. Pull it out from underneath, and you should be safe as far as leaves falling off. But if you're in the middle of yontif and you don't have a chance to get other rabbis, definitely the Mishnah Berurah says you have a tur line. On the top of the arava, sometimes there's what's called a lavlov, which is a soft leaf on the top, and almost all of them in Eretz Yisrael have it. The reason why it's good to have a lavlov on top is that you know that it's not niktam. We spoke about niktam by the lulav and by the dasim. So by the arava, that's considered pasul. It's a Mishnah Lama Gimel Beis, Tafesh Mem Zayin, Siv Beis. And in America, most of them do not have it, but it's best to know that if you see in the backyard, you see somebody has an arava bush, a tree, whatever you call it, and it's very long. And you look at it and you think, it's such a long stem, that you can make four or five aravas just from that. The arava can't be cut on the top. Nikdam is puzzle. Whoever's cutting it, even if it doesn't have a lavlov, you have to make sure that it's not just some guy so told his 10-year-old kid, to cut it off. You have to make sure they're all cut from the bottom. Only one is kosher from that long stick. The one that's all the way on the top, you can't cut it off on the top, and then with the top itself can't be cut, and each one has to be cut from the bottom. Sometimes you could tell, you could look at it, what was chopped off. The expression of Arvei Nachal. Nachal is a brook, right? I'm sure you all know that the translation of the word Nachal is a brook. So it grows by the brook. So Rashi in Sukkah on the bottom of Lama Gimel Mabez says Hagdela ala Nachal, that it's not just the explanation of the min, of the type of branch that we're talking about. Rashi holds that it should be actually grown by the brook. You should use an arava that was actually grown by the water. Taisus over there on Lama Dalam and Aleph holds that it's puzzle without that. That the arava is puzzle without the fact that it grew by a brook. It grows in somebody's backyard. Taisus holds that that's puzzle. It's not good for an arava. Luckily, the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Mem Zayin Sif Aleph does not paskin like Rashi or Tosfos. He paskins like the Rosh and the Rambam. That the Rosh says, Lo yirei isi, I never saw anybody be makbid to bedafka have an arava that physically grew by a brook. And the Mishnah Berurah, and the explanation is that it's just explaining the min. It's explaining that species. It's the type that grows by a brook. But it doesn't have to actually grow by a brook. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Gimel says, if you can, it's good to get such an arava, but he says definitely it's kosher without it, like the Shulchan Aruch. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, there's a place called Moitza, which has a brook, and they grow aravas there. And there, people try to get aravas from there in Eretz Yisrael to try to be choshish for Rashi and Tosfos. But, in America, obviously, it's harder to get such aravas. So if you can't, definitely we pass on like the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says it's kosher without it. But you do find that there are those that say that Arvei Nachal means that it physically needs to grow by a brook.
What does that mean?
Does
it doesn't grow in?
No, side, by the side of the brook. By the side.
Just because there's water next running
to,
on the side?
Yeah. Maybe it gets nourished from the water over there.
It's not so far from the...
From the Passaic River, yeah. Okay, I don't know. But maybe it gets nourished from that water. Just a few halachas as far as the basics of taking the lulav and esrog. Some of these halachas I'm sure you know, but just a few reminders and some new halachas. Three hadassim, two aravas. You put them in the kishkel usually. The shedra of the lulav needs to be facing you. On the right is the hadassim. When the spine of the lulav is facing you, on the right goes the three hadassim, and on the left is the aravas. Anyone who's a righty holds the lulav in their right hand. And Lamed Zayinam Abayz, it explains, because the lulav has three mitzvahs, the lulav, the hadassim, and the aravas. The esrog is only one mitzvah. So you take the lulav in your strong hand, because it's more chashuv, it has three mitzvahs, you take the lulav in your right hand. The Ramah paskin, maybe the Sfaradim are not like this, but the Ramah paskin, that a lefty takes the lulav in the left hand. Shulchan Aruch says not like that. I'm not sure if the Sfaradim, you're a righty. Right? So okay, it could be, but I'm not sure how the Sfaradim do it, but I know the Ramah paskins that a lefty takes the lulav in the left hand, and the Mishnah Berurah says that you don't switch around the hadassim and the aravas. You don't need to switch around the hadassim and the aravas. Those of you who may know the Medrash, that the aravas are next to hadassim because it has no Torah and no mitzvahs, and the esrog does, it has both, so he tries to have ashpo. We don't paskin like that. According by a lefty who holds, like myself, that holds the lulav in the left hand, so it ends up the esrog will be next to the hadassim. A righty holds the lulav in the right hand, so the aravos. The esrog will be next to the hadassim. By a righty, the esrog will be next to the aravos. Very important. A lot of people do not notice this. I love looking, I mean, because I don't love, but I find it interesting to look around shul and see how many people do not know the following halacha. Maybe they know it, it's just they forget. The hadassim are supposed to stick out higher than the aravas. It's the Ramah in Tarfish Nun Aleph, Sif Aleph. And it's not so hard, you just stick in the aravas deeper. Or you could cut the aravas on the bottom, right? Not on top. Stick in the aravas deeper into the kaishka, but the hadassim need to be higher than the aravas. The Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yudbeis says it's Alpi Kabbalah from the Marie Vayel, but the Levush brings the reasons Alpi Nigla, Hadass is first in the Pasuk, the Gra brings the Medrash that we spoke about at the end of the share on Esrig. We spoke that the Hadass is the shape of the eyes, and the Aravas are the shape of the lips, and the Lulav is the shape of the spine, and the Esrig is the shape of the heart. So the eyes are higher than the lips, so the Hadass is supposed to be higher than the Aravas. Fine, but that's one halacha that you need to do. And another halacha that people don't realize is that the Lulav is four tfachim, that we spoke about in the Shir of Lulav, but the Gemara in Lama Beis and Mabeis doesn't just simply say that the Lulav is four tfachim. The Gemara says that Shedra Shalulav Tzarek Sheyotzim in a Hadas Tefach, that the Shedra, the Hadas and Aravas are three tvachim. The Lulav is four tvachim. But it doesn't just simply say four tvachim. It says that the Lulav has to be one tefach higher than the Hadas. Which means, and it's Mufurish in the Ran, and he says, Mistaber dafilu haisef ba'erech hadas harava. Even if you have a very long hadas and harava, tzorech shayotza shedri shalulav lamala mehen tefach. The lulav needs to be, the shedra of the lulav, not just the leaves, the shedra of the lulav needs to be higher than the hadas, which is higher than the harava, needs to be higher than the hadas, one tefach. Again, the tefach is approximately 4 inches according to the Chazanish. But, so that, you have to be careful to stick it out higher. The Shulchan Aruch and Tofesh Nun Sif Beis brings this Ran, it's other Rishonim also, and otherwise it's a Bracha Levatala, Yinai Yatza. And because it's considered as if the Lulav doesn't have the correct shear. The Lulav has to be four Tvachim, but again, it's not just four Tvachim, the Lulav has to be one Tefach higher than the Hadas.
So what you're really saying is that when you set it up.
Yeah.
But the mice, let's say a person's not careful.
It slips, yeah. A lot of times the kushkel slips up and down, and if the kushkel slips up and down, then the hadas and the rava are going to go up and down.
But the mice, it is high. It is taller, in other words.
It is taller, but it has to be the shedra, not the leaves. The shedra has to be a tefach higher. It happens. It's not hard to do. I do.
In other words, if you look at it, you see that the up to the end of the shedra, it's definitely
right.
At least 4 inches high.
Okay, good. So make sure it stays like that. Right. Right.
Or the hadassim, and it's all the way up.
Right. So you have to be careful.
It's possible even if the
You're not yet, because it's as if you did not have the lulav. Is the correct shear? It's like it's as if the lulav is too short.
Can you be yotze the mitzvah even if you don't have it tied together? So how could you say that that's a requirement?
I care. What I would imagine the answer would be is right. The Shulchan Aruch says that if I would have all four on the table and I take the lulav and I take the hadas and I have to take all four eventually. But if I would take all four eventually, yeah. Then you would be kosher. I would imagine the answer is that if the hadas is too close to it, then it makes the lulav short. If the hadas is not there at all, so then you didn't make the lulav too short. If the hadas is too close to the top of the shed or the lulav, then it's as if you mamayit, you minimize the shear of the lulav, but that's only if the hadas is there, but it's too high up. If the hadas is not there at all, and you're doing it like that, then you know it doesn't minimize the shear of the lulav, so then you know it would still be kosher. Is a mitzvah to tie the three minim with a kesher? Right? I think the Kohen is learning kesher now, right? So you're supposed to die with a kesher and tafresh and aleph, sif aleph, because of zekim avaveh, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and dafir aleph and beis and sukkah, and it's not ma'akev, but you're supposed to have a kesher to have the hadas and the rava tied as a kesher, like we just said, it's not ma'akev at all, but you're supposed to have them together in a kesher. The Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Ches says a kaishikol is good enough, because it doesn't have to be a din of a kesher per se, but the word is just to keep it together, so, and the kaishikol does that job. There's supposed to be rings besides the kaishikol. The Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yudalid in Tafresh Nun Aleph. So Katan Yudalid brings two shitas whether you should have two or three charim besides the kaishikol. You look around, you see some people have two, some people have three, but besides the kaishikol, you should have these bindalach, we call it, around the lulav itself, and that's also to make it pretty and to hold it together, not to hold it together, it's just on the lulav, but that's also considered nice, zekelem aveyu. So there's different opinions, two or three, besides the kaishikol. Also, he says something we alluded to when we were talking about by the lulav, that you can't tie these bindalach too high. You shouldn't tie it too high on the lulav, because when you shake the lulav, you're supposed to have kiskusa alin. We discussed this at some point, I forgot when, but you're supposed to have kiskusa alin. When you shake the lulav by the nanuim, it's supposed to shake a little bit. The leaves are supposed to shake. If you tie the bindalach too tall, too high up, you're not going to have that, obviously. You make the bracha shekichonu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivonu. Agav, nothing to do with hochos lulav, nothing to do with dalaminim. But when you make a bracha shekichonu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivonu, a lot of people they put the word v'tzivonu together with b'mitzvaysav, because that's just the standard text. Shekichonu b'mitzvaysav v'tzivonu, am atilos lulav, am mikra megillah, l'havik nershal Shabbos, l'havik nershal Chanukah. But there's supposed to be a pause between b'mitzvaysav v'tzivonu. First of all, the translation: Hashem sanctified us with His mitzvos, and He commanded us to do that, that, that. But besides that, you're supposed to, if the mitzvaysav ends in a vav, and vitzivanu starts with a vav. So besides by krishma, the Shulchan Aruch says it's not only by krishma, but by all brachos and all davening and all everything, like any dvarim shel kedusha, you're not supposed to slur the words together. If the last letter in one word is the same as the first letter in the next word, you're supposed to pause in between. You'll notice some people, if you eat out Friday night by somebody's house, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, people make sure to pause between lechem and min haaretz. First thing when you wake up in the morning, ma'ida ni lefanecha melech chai v'kayim. It's even two different letters. It's melech, it's an chaf and a chaf and a ches, but you're always supposed to pause in between. So b'mitzvaysav v'tzivanu, the first day you say shachyanu. Also, and you need to have the bracha of over lasiyasan. Over lasiyasan means to make the bracha before the mitzvah. How do we accomplish that? The second you pick up the lulav and esrog, you really already fulfilled your mitzvah. The shaking is just extra. So the Shulchan Aruch says what you do is that you pick up the esrog upside down, because you're not yaitz of the mitzvah if you have the esrog upside down. You're not yaitz of the mitzvah if you have the lulav upside down either. But if you're not yaitz of the mitzvah, the esrog upside down, you pick it up like that, you make the bracha, and then you turn the esrog right side up. There is another option to have the esrog on the table, but that's not preferred, the place can say, because that's considered too far in advance. So this way you pick up the esrog, just you pick it up upside down, and then you make the bracha, and then you turn it right side up. The place can tell us if by mistake you pick up the esrog right side up. You know, the women, a lot of times they do this, they forget. You know, the men, they're more used to it, but the women, they pick it up a lot of times, and they pick it up right side up, and you say, oh, yeah, pick it right, can I still make my bracha? Halacha is, you're allowed to still make your bracha, because the nanuim, even though it's not ma'akev, but the shaking, it is still part of the mitzvah. You didn't fully fulfill your mitzvah. If you pick it up right side up, you still are allowed to make your bracha.
What about if you hold it separate?
So we're going to discuss holding it together, but it's not going to be ma'akev. It's not going to be right for the bracha. Yeah. So therefore, it's not ma'akev. Therefore, you still consider as if you're yaitz of the mitzvah technically. So therefore, but we're going to discuss holding it together in a second. So the Mishnah Berurah does bring that that there is an option of not having kavana, of picking it up with specific das, not to be yaitz of the mitzvah. And in the Shaar Tzion, it makes it sound like that's even preferred, if I remember correctly. But if you want to do that, you could do that, but that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says to do. The Mishnah Berurah does bring that option. That is also a valid option. Like we just alluded to before, each one is not ma'akiv the other, but if you are missing one min, if you don't have any hadasim, or if you don't have any aravas, then you don't fulfill the mitzvah. You could take them separately, b'di'avid, but as long as you do all of them eventually, if you don't end up taking the esrog, if you don't end up taking the aravas or whatever, or the apostle, then it's ma'akiv the entire mitzvah. You shake by the bracha. When you make the bracha, you shake. The many shitas how to shake, Ashkenazim or the Arizal, which is Sfar, the different directions. When we do the nanuim, when we shake, so the Ramah says in Siftes that you should have kiskusa alin, you should shake it, and he says you should do three times each way. You mean forward, and each time you should, the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat Lamed Zayin that you should bring it back to your body, back and forth, three times to the front, then let's say Ashkenaz, and three times to the right. The Mishnah Berurah says that you do not need to turn around. There are those that say you should turn around. Let's say when you're shaking behind, you look around, you see there are probably about 50-50 about around the shul. 50% of the people turn around, and 50% just go like this. The Mishnah Berurah says you don't turn around. You want to turn around? I guess you could, but those that say you could turn around, but the Mishnah Berurah says you don't need to turn around, you just go like this three times, that is sufficient. the esrig should be touching the lulav or the kashka. That's in the Shulchan Aruch Sifir Aleph. By Hashanis also, preferably when you walk around, the esrig should be touching the lulav when you go around the bima. It's a taz and tarfesh samachdal and sifkatane by the Hashanis also. So the question is, where is your siddur? You're doing the Hashanis all around and you don't have the table in front of you like during Hallel, so where's the siddur? So some people put the siddur on their arms, or they have like one of these cards. Now they have these cards that you could slip on your arm, you have it like that. So that's great, but you shouldn't have both in one hand. That the Mishnah Berurah in Tarfesh Nanav Sivkatan Tezbar brings a machlekes if you yoytze, if it's all in one hand. You had asked before about separate, we'll get to that shortly, but the Mishnah Berurah brings a machlekes if you have the lulav and esrog in one hand, are you yoytze or not? So definitely you shouldn't be walking around by Hashanis with one hand and the siddur in the other hand. You should have in two hands and try and figure out a way to either memorize the Hashanis, which some days are easier than others, but or you could have a way of holding it or maneuvering to have a card that you're able to hold it in two separate hands. The Beis Yosef brings the Rikanti. The Rikanti is in Parashas Emor. The Rikanti was one of the Rishonim. The Beis Yosef brings an interesting maisa. He says the Rikanti one time had a guest at his house for Sukkot. There was someone passing through the town and invited him as a guest. He didn't know who he was, and he had him as a guest in his house on the first night of Sukkot. And he had a dream. The Rikanti had a dream that night when he went to sleep, and he had a dream that this guest of his was writing the Shem Hashem, and he was writing the Yud, and then the Hey, and then the Vav, and then the Hey he wrote like on the other side of the paper. And the Rikanti, in his dream, he went over to this guest and he said, what are you doing? Why are you writing the Shem Hashem like that? The Yud and the Hey and then the Vav and the Hey is totally separate. And this man said, no, that's how we do it in our town where I come from. We write it separately. And the Rikanti was screaming at him, Chas v'Shalom, how could you do that to Hashem's name, to separate the letters? And he woke up and he didn't know, like, what a mundane dream. Like, what is this going on? He didn't say anything to his guest. But the next morning, the first day of Sukkot, he saw that this guest was holding the lulav in one hand and the esring in the other hand, far away, separate from each other. And the answer, what the illusion is, that each one of the dalaminim represents one letter of the yudke vavke. And you'll notice in the hiratzen, there's a hiratzen in the siddur before you shake the lulav. It says over there, hiratzen b'fanach Hashem alekai v'alekai avasai v'pri yatzad v'kapes tamar v'nafei sovitz v'arvi nachal oisiyos shimcha hamiyuchod tikarev echod el echod. That the names of Hashem should, the letters, the oisiyos, the letters of the name of Hashem should be tikarev, should be brought close one to the other. Should be together in my hands. So you see an allusion over there already to this Rikanti, to this Beis Yosef, that the lulav and the esrig, they should not be held separately from each other. You put them together, and with this Rikanti, it makes a lot of sense with this Yiratan. I told you before that it's Nama Akev. I'm not sure why I said that. I don't know, I don't remember, I don't have anything in my notes, whether it's Ma'akev or not. I'm guessing that it's Nama'akev, I'm not sure. I shouldn't say it flat out that it's Kosher B'dieved. I'd have to look into that again, if it's Ma'akev B'dieved or not. As far as the Nanuim, we all know, you shake by Hoidu Lashem, it's over there, Lamed Zayin Amabez, and Sifches. The Mishnah Berurah says that each word is one direction. Hoidu Lashem Kitoiv Kilo L'mchastoi is seven words. By Hashem, we don't shake, because you're supposed to stand in awe, and you have kavana when you say Hashem's name. By the other six words, one in each direction. The Chazan only shakes the first two. The Mishnah Berurah explains, because by Yoyim Arno Yisrael, he's talking to the people. Yoyimar no Yisrael. He's talking to the tzibur. So when he's talking to the tzibur, so he gets involved also and he shakes. But by Beis Aaron and Yirei Hashem, so then that there's no reason to shake. So there the chazan doesn't shake, but the tzibur, they shake. By Ona Hashem Hashiyana, you'll see if Zichazanim do as well. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's two directions per word. Hashem also you don't shake. Ona, two directions, whichever directions you go. Hayshia is two, and Na is another two. You'll see some people do by the syllables. Hayshia, and they do three by Hayshia. Fine, that for sure is not Ma'akev, but the Mishnah Berurah says not like that. The Mishnah Berurah says to do two by Ana, two by Hayshia, two by Na. We don't do by Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Why would we do by Ana Hashem Hayshia and not by Ana Hashem Atzlichana? So the Mishnah Berurah brings a reason. There's many reasons, but the Mishnah Berurah brings one, because the Pasuk says, Oziranenu Atzeh Yar. So Atzeh Yar means like the branches, the wood, which is the lulav and the hadasim and the aravas. Iranenu, and they're going to praise Hashem. And then right after that, it says Hayshieni No. So Hayshia is connected to Oziranenu Atzeh Yar, and it says Hodul Hashem Kitayv Kilam Chastav Diroso. So over there we shake because it's connected to the Oziranenu Atzeh Yar to Hayshia No. And then again by Hodul Hashem. Just another one, a couple other halachas. a lot of people, they love to smell the esrog. I told this to all my students in the Beis Yaakov and in Brooklyn, that they love smelling the esrog. And what's the halacha with smelling the esrog? So the Shulchan Aruch says that on Sukkos you should not smell the esrog. And the reason is that it's in Tafresh Nun Gimel, Sif Aleph, it's also in Reish Tezayin, that there's a halacha that if a sweet-smelling fruit, you make the bracha of a nice and reyach toiv b'peiros. A lot of people know that. The famous one is b'ayin minim psamim. But a nice and reyach toiv b'peiros is by sweet-smelling fruits. So the question is, if you take a fruit for a different reason, and then you happen to smell it, so the halacha is that you don't make a bracha. Since you didn't take it to smell, you took it for a different reason, so there, even if you happen to smell it, you don't make the bracha. So the question is, over here, that the esrog is being taken for the purpose of the mitzvah, is not being taken for the purpose of smelling, it's being taken for the purpose of the mitzvah, do you make a bracha or not? Since it's a suffix whether you should make a bracha or not, it's a machlokes, so therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that you refrain from smelling the esrog at all. If we knew for a fact you make a bracha, you would smell it and make a bracha. If you knew for a fact that you would not make a bracha, so you could smell it and not make a bracha. But since it's a suffix, therefore you should not smell it, because we're not sure if you should make a bracha or not. The Mishnah Berurah does bring, the Shulchan Aruch brings, and the Mishnah Berurah also talks about it, that there are those that say that if, let's say, you shake the lulav of a shachris, or the lulav of an esrog by shachris, and then you take the esrog at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for the sole purpose of smelling it. So there are those that say you are allowed to smell it and you would make a bracha, but the Mishnah Berurah says you still shouldn't. Because still there are some paiskim that say throughout the entire sukkah it's already huksal mitzvah and you would not make a bracha. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah says the entire sukkah you shouldn't smell it, because we have a doubt if you make a bracha. After sukkah is over, if you've really been holding it up inside you the whole sukkah and you really want to smell it, so after sukkah is over you're allowed to go ahead and take it and smell it with a bracha. Both class, all my students wanted to know if you could smell your hand. Yeah, I think you could smell your hand. You don't make a bracha on that. I think you're allowed, after you put down the esrog, if you want to smell the box, you want to smell the hand, I think that's okay, and you wouldn't make, you know for a fact, that you wouldn't make a bracha.
The ma'aseh should be able to do it at night.
Yeah, that's also a good question, but the Mishnah Berurah says throughout the entire sukkah, still, even though it's not taken for the mitzvah over there, but throughout the entire sukkah, it's already huksal mitzvah, the entire days of sukkah. It's a machlok is about before sukkah, but after sukkah, we say that it's already finished, not going to save it for next year. So then when you could, but throughout the entire sukkah, it seems like even at night, then you wouldn't. Okay, it's already almost 10:15, so I think we'll leave out the story. We'll be yotze of the story with the Rikanti story already. But Be'ez Hashem, as we discussed by after Lulav, that Lulav should be Aschus Chaim, as we come out your Lulav, we said, and as we Aschus for Zechav Chaim, Olam Hazan, Olam Haba, and the Taku Shava, through the appreciation of learning these halachas of the Lulav and Esrog, and anyone who missed any of the other Shurim, all my shiurim on TorahAnytime.com, we were talking about before. The shiur on Esrog is there, the shiur on Lulav is there, Be'ez Hashem. This year will be there. And through the appreciation, I know myself, after I learned these halachas, and I learned it well, you know, to take notes, because I knew Be'ez Hashem, I would want to give shiurim on these one day, you get a much more of an appreciation for the halachos of Lulav and Esrog in general. And when you find a beautiful esrog, and when you find a beautiful hadas, and you find a beautiful lulav, and your wallet is much lighter because you spent the money on a beautiful lulav and a beautiful esrog and beautiful hadas and naravas, but you appreciate it so much. The money is mamish not an issue if you know the halachas well, and you're so happy with kulei mishulish. You know what kulei mishulish is all about. You see kulei ruba, you have no idea what it's talking about. Now you can appreciate it, and you see a lulav. The briska lulav, it's green to the tippy top. The esrog that we spoke about, the dots, and you know that there's a clean esrog, no black dots. You don't even have to rely on the kula of the ma'bit that we spoke about. All the halachas, once you know them and you see that you have a beautiful esrog and you're so happy, and mamish, I can tell you from experience that it makes your sukkahs and it makes you enjoy the mitzvah much more. So shetach be a schus for all of us from these halachas. Maxim a taiva and a good yontif.